And this man that was the most influential person in my life was a man that I grew up hating, that I never saw in my life, who walked out on my life when I was just a child, never even when I was just an infant, never made a phone call, never even acknowledged that he had a son named Wayne. This was my father. And it wasn't until much, much later in my life, when I was in my 30s, just before I wrote Your Erroneous Zones, that I was able to go to his grave and have an act of forgiveness. And when I had that act of forgiveness and I let go of all of this stuff that I had just carried around with me for so many years, I walked away from it. I sent away the anger and the hatred and the bitterness and I started sending this person love, who was now dead. And I walked away from that experience. I've written about it. I've talked about it on other tapes. I've wrote about it, and you'll see it when you believe it. But I walked away from that experience in 1974, and I went and I checked into a motel, a seedy one, with cockroaches, in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I wrote a book called Your Erroneous Zones in 14 days, beginning to end. And it became the catalyst, the turning point in my life. I began to give up the sedentary lifestyle, the couch potato lifestyle. I began running and becoming active. I began to attract into my life more profound ideas and people in my life. Everything just seemed to turn around because I gave up my personal history. I gave up the idea that I was feeling sorry for myself for being an orphan, or for living in foster homes, or for not having a father. I gave it all up and realized that that was a choice that I made, perhaps unconsciously, perhaps even before I ever showed up. Who knows? But who's to question it? How can you question the facts? I don't go around and say, you know, I was born in 1940. I should have been born in 1460. I mean, you don't go around saying that. You say, that's the fact of my life. I showed up on the 10th of May. In 1940, that's the day I showed up. And I was conceived sometime in September of 1939. That's a fact, and you don't change the facts. And by giving up our personal history, what we do is we give up our attachment to the past and our bonding to our wounds. And we merge into something much more powerful, into this thing called the now. And the now is easy to talk about, but difficult for most people to be in, and yet it's the only place you can ever be. Every moment that you have of guilt in your life about what could have happened, what should have happened, takes place in the now. So people have often said, well, guilt is just a way of living in the past. There is no possibility of living in the past. It's an illusion of the ego. You can't live in the past. What you do is you use up your present, being immobilized over what took place in the past. But you're always in the present. And that's the only place that God is. Here, in this moment. And you don't worry by living in the future. There's nobody out there living in the future. You're living now. In the present, using up your moments now to be immobilized over what might or might not happen down the road. But make no mistake about it, that's all taking place now. This is all you get. Just the now. And to use up your now with this personal history, one of the great glories of giving up your personal history is you give up guilt along the way. You just give it up. And you start to look at all of these people that were in your life who did all of these things that you think they shouldn't have done. And instead of being mad at them and angry at them and using up your now with that anger and with that hatred and that bitterness, you begin to practice letting it all go. It's about understanding that people come into the world and do what they know how to do. Given the circumstances of their life, they do what they know how to do. It isn't good or bad. It isn't right or wrong. It isn't moral or immoral. It's just they're doing what they knew how to do.